Charlie? Charlie, you're gonna come on up to the mic. Okay, these two gentlemen are gonna talk about the carnival, what carnival is, how the masking and the music interact. If anybody has any questions, you raise your hand or yell out, whatever. First, Lou. Charlie, we want to tell people what carnival is, when it comes, what part of the year it is, how it started?
Mainly, I would say, carnival, early started. We start preparing for carnival, from December month, with the pans there, we start preparing carnival from there. Where you are as an arranger. Now, let us say, the panorama, that comes before the carnival, there has three sets of panorama. There has the grand panorama, right? That's where all the bands will be taking part in, right? Then from there, they'll be selecting 22 bands from that section. And from that 22 bands, they'll be taking off 12 bands, because down home there is at least 100 and odd bands down Trinidad there, right? Yeah,
Charlie? These people might not know what a pan is.
Okay.
So,
now this is a normal oil drum, right? It's the oil drum there that is synced here. And this depth here, this is synced at 7.5 inches in depth here. And we spread it at least 15.5 inches across there. So you can get your notes and your songs coming in. Take for instance, like this note here. This is the lowest note in the pan. That's the D note. You can listen. Yeah, these are all the notes in the pan here, right? Now, when you say the pan here, there's at least 9 different ranges of pans. Like the lead pan, which is a tenor pan. From the tenor pan, it goes to the double tenor, which the barrel of the double tenor is cut about this length. From there, we go to the double second, which the barrel is a little longer than that. And then there is a guitar pan. That is the yellow pan that the guy was playing there. That's the guitar pan. From that guitar pan, we go to a triple guitar, which we call the cello. So you got 3 pans, well, they are completely whole. So you got 3 drums, one line like this, one line like this, and the other one at this point. And from there, we go to the 4 cello, which is the other pan, which is tall as the same cello. And from there, you go directly down to the bass line, where you get a set of 5 bass, then you get a set of 6 bass, you get a set of 7, you get a set of 9, and a set of 12 bass. Well, this is one guy he's going to be playing. Either he plays the 12, or he plays the 9, or he plays the 7, the 6, the 5, or what. But they have newly invented a new pan down home, which is a quadraphonic. That is 4 pan. You got 2, like how this line here. So, yeah. That's how this line here. You got another one way out here. And then there is 2 other, just above this here, the other 2 here. So this guy, he will be playing this more or less this way, you know, and coming across. Well, that's the quadraphonic. That range from the tenor pan way back down to the background. You get me clear here? So he can play the same pan. Music this pan will be playing with his quadraphonic. He will play the same harmony pan as the double tenor. He will play the same chords as the second, the guitar, the cello, or the bass. That is the quadraphonic. But as you were talking about preparing for carnival, now as December breaks, so, well, all pan men in the area, they heated because, you know, carnival is in the air. So we start preparing. Yeah, got your arranger. Now he will be coming to do his tune, so that he can win the year's panorama. So he's coming to work very hard, and each player has to work very hard to achieve this.
Now, what's a panorama?
Now, the panorama is a big festival just before the carnival. That ends at the Saturday night before the carnival. Let us say the carnival is on Monday and Tuesday. That Panorama ends on the Saturday night, the final, the grand finals. So as I was telling you before, there is three sets of Panorama, the grand Panorama. Then you start to break down the bands in them. You'll take down like the semifinals, and then you got for the finals. Now these bands that will be taking part, they are no less than 100 members. No more than 100. No more than 100 members. So, you know, take for instance, like you'll get 35 of these bands, 35 tenor fan in the band. You may get about 12 sets of double tenor. You may have about 8 sets of double seconds. Then you get a cellos. And maybe you get about 12 sets of 6 bass. And then you get about 2 sets of 12, you know. And it goes down. So it's a big orchestra. So it works on that. Now, this Panorama tune, that only takes 10 minutes. Now you gotta play, you have 10 minutes on stage to play this Panorama tune, but you have to have your tune perfect. So this is why we start at December. So we practice December and very hard. December, you come January and February, you get it up together at that point. So,
okay. This is it. Now the Panorama is the final Panorama competition. Now this is the competition between the steel bands.
Yeah.
Ends on the Saturday before Mardi Gras, right?
Yeah.
Or Shrove Tuesday. That is, for those of you who aren't familiar with Lent, Christian celebration of Lent, it's like the 40 days before Easter, is that right?
40 days before Ash Wednesday.
Ash Wednesday.
From Ash Wednesday.
Yeah. And the Panorama is the Saturday before Mardi Gras. Now, what about the mask competition? What about mask bands?
Well, the preparation for the carnival costumes starts immediately after the first carnival is ended. Now, these costumes entails a lot of work, like maybe the entire year, and a lot of money. So, as soon as one carnival is finished, maybe the Sunday after, the first Sunday in Lent, most band leaders host a meeting. And then the various committees will decide what we are going to portray for the following year. Now, in this modern era, the trend of carnival has changed. And it has gone really from history to a carousel. Now, a carousel is a conglomeration of colors. That is beauty in entirety. Long ago, the real venture of carnival was a historical approach, in that all bands would try to adopt some era or some particular scene in some country, like England, Russia, France, America, Germany, you name it. To depict a costume from that era. Now, this may sound as a bit of a joke, but I'm forced to say that there are people in my country, I mean, they're not college graduates, but they know much, much, much more of American history than some of you Americans. I can tell you that, because we delve into it. Like the Battle of Little Big Horn. Some years ago, I think Renegades, a band that this gentleman was playing in, brought that band, and they depicted from General Custer all the way down with the soldiers and the Indians, and in those days were the Sioux Indians, the Delgado Indians, the Seminoles were from Fort Lauderdale. But all the Indians that took part in that battle, they were portrayed there. That was from a historical standpoint. Now, the same type of costume would be made, but it would be different in color. Because what is actually done is that the artist, he comes up with an idea and he draws on paper how he sees an Indian. Now, that in a sense has given him a range to do what he wants on paper, and also it protects him, whereby the judge cannot confine him to no color or no shape. because it is the artist's impression, and you cannot tell how I think. So once I look pretty enough to be awarded a prize, I will be awarded the points. Now, this thing, as I was saying, starts immediately after the band leaders meet and decide what they're going to do. Then they get their artists and they draw their pictures. Now, like, if I am playing Men from Mars, I have my artist draw my Mars pictures, call my meeting, go to the city, check the materials, and price my costumes. Then I will decide, well, my camp will be open, like, say, 1 month from now. Now, when the camp is open, it means that, like, 15, 16 people comes every night, religiously, sometimes more, and work to have these costumes prepared for the carnival time. Now, remember that bands range from, like, say, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 7,000, and there's a guy from England now, his name is Peter Minchell, a white guy. He's one of the greatest. He came and he has been bringing his band every year, and his band is over 11,000. So you could remember
11,000 people in the band.
11,000 people in a band. But he is great. He is great. Now, I don't like him because I feel that what he is doing, I cannot do. He's rich, he has money, and he has the knowledge. I didn't go to college, so I can't do what he's doing. That's why I don't like him. No, I don't envy the guy. I don't like him, but I respect him. Understand that, you see? He is good.
Now, what is the difference? Some people might be confused when we talk about a band. Mm-hmm. Because are we talking about steel bands and mass bands? No. Are they the same thing?
No. There's a difference between the steel bands and the carnival mass bands. Now, a steel band is strictly a band comprised of these symphonic, or they call them panasonic instruments. This is the oil drum, right? A carnival band is a costume band. And basically, a costume band, the music that is rendered to a costume band is string music, orchestration. You see, the steel band they play military, like sailors ashore, back to baton, and these sorts of military bands. That is mostly done with the steel band. But the historical costumes, the historical bands, they use orchestration. And beautiful costumes that are made by seamstress and tailor, they have to sew these costumes, and then the guy has to use wire to make the headpieces or molding or metal, whatever it is. Whatever you're depicting. If you're depicting Rome, well, you know, you have to use your visor helmets. You're not a visor. Your metal helmets with the comb and your breastplate and gauntlets and shin guards and all this kind of thing. If you're playing like ancient Assyrian history, you will use gongs and togas and whatnot. You see, like a hut like this is ancient China, which is Mongolian. Now, this here would be, when completed, this would be covered with a lot of stones, you know, rhinestones and sequins, these brilliance and things to magnify. You understand? Now, the band, the carnival bands or the costume bands, it entails a lot of work. Very, very, very much work, because these bands are done in sections. You see, I'll come back to Peter Minchell. When he came and started, he taught us a lot in that he started introducing sections in Trinidad. Now, if you have a section of, let's say, 400 people dressed in one type of costume, followed by another section of the same 400 in another type of costume, and another section of the same in another type of costume, when these various or these different colors get over the stage, and they all get together, they blend, you see? But again, if you have a band of 200, you can't do that, because your section would be about 50 in a section, but that's what I like him about. He has 450 in one section, which sometimes is the size of one band. So he already has the biggest band in Trinidad, and he is the best masquerader in Trinidad. There's no doubt about it. But I don't like him. I respect him, but I don't like him.
Now, Lou, when we're talking about masks, yeah. Maybe you should explain what a mask is. It's not just something that covers your head, right?
No.
This is
a headdress.
This is a... But, I'll put it on, huh?
Right.
I work like
yeah,
this?
Yeah, you're right.
I see.
Now, okay. This is supposed to be a Maasai, that's an African headdress. No, a ceremonial headdress. No, but with this, you have a collar. Now, the collar is basically the bone. That is ancient Africa, the old country. That is bones. Then you would have maybe a loin skin across. Then you would have maybe a tattered skirt. That is the rope. You use the white rope to form the skirt and a girdle. On the girdle, you'll have bones. Then you'll have the knee bands. That is the garters with the drop cords. That is the rope around you. You'd have your arm bands. You'd have a spear. You'd have a shield. You see? Now, the Maasai use a shield this shape. You see, in African history, you find, too, that the tribe can be denoted or detected from the shape of the shield. Some tribes use a round globular shield. Some use this shape shield. Some use a big shield. Well, like Shaka. Shaka, he used a big shield with a small spear. Because he said a small spear, he could maneuver it better. And a big shield, he could get behind and cover. Am I right? Because I'm sure that you people know about the African history, right? Good. Now, that would make an African costume. But this is just a headdress. A costume is the entire body coverage. That is head, body, and shoe.
And you say that up to 1,000 people would be, or even more, could be wearing this, a mask like this all together?
No. 1,000 people could wear this if it is, you're playing like King Shaka and his followers. Now, based on the name of the band, King Shaka would be an individual. His followers could wear all of that. But now, whereby the band would be separated in sections, you'd have like the night watch and the day watch, and you have this tribe coming from this other village and this tribe coming from that other village. It means that they may come in a different attire. They're not compelled to wear the same costume. It will be a different attire. You understand? So then you'll find that in a band, you'll have 5 or 6 or 7 different structure costumes in the band.
Now, does everyone in Trinidad participate in carnival?
No. Everyone is carnival-minded, but everyone does not participate. Now, remember that Trinidad is the last continent in the Caribbean, which is exactly 4.5 hours direct flight from Miami. The population is a little over a million. It isn't very much. And if everybody participates in Trinidad, in carnival, well, Trinidad, there's nothing going on. You still have to have your police force. You still have to have your hospitals. You still have to have these different these different sections of the business sector working.
Mm-hmm.
So the majority of people that participate in carnival are just masqueraders. But there are very many, because people from all over the world comes and participate in the carnival. Followed down there.
Because a lot of people, they have already paid on their costume. Yeah, a lot of tourists, they have already paid on their costume for next carnival.
Because I know for sure that this same guy who I tell you I don't like very much, Peter Mitchell, but I respect the guy, he has already received money from New York.
Yeah.
For a section already, it is sold out for next carnival.
So there will be people coming from New York
to play
with Peter Mitchell, an Englishman, and to play in the Trinidad
and
Carnival.
He comes up to New York to take part in the Brooklyn Day Festival, the Labor Day Festival, and he brings a band. I saw his band last year. It was a dream, a beauty. The man is great. He is great. He is good. But as I said, I don't like him. But I respect him.
Yeah. Let's talk a little about what happens each day. Now, carnival is over on Ash Wednesday, right?
Yeah. It is over at midnight Tuesday.
Which is Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Tuesday night. Yeah, that's the last night of the carnival.
No.
You see, we have the carnival on Monday and Tuesday. Now, the carnival starts, let us say, at 4:30 on Monday morning.
Okay, and is that Juve?
No, that's Juve.
Wait a minute. The carnival starts at 4:30 on Monday. At 6 o'clock on Monday morning is the Dimanche Gras. That is French, right? That is daybreak. That is where all the bands come out. Well, now since it is changed, I don't know because I don't live down there. I don't know. But I know at 6 o'clock, when the bell, at the last chime of the bell for 6, all the bands come on the street. Then you are free to parade the streets in your costume and do what you want. You will not be molested by the police.
No.
But if you come on the street before 6, you could be arrested.
Yeah, but at this point, no, presently, the government, they have changed that time. They have bring it to 4:30, bands on street. Police can't hamburg you at all. At 4:30, you come out and you start to play a mass until 12 Tuesday night. 12 o'clock Tuesday night. If they should catch you with your costume on, 2 minutes after 12, you're entitled of locking you up. Yeah, because you're supposed to give you from 4:30 to 12 on Tuesday night.
Excuse me, could I ask you a question?
Yeah,
I don't know. I was made to understand that you all have this night carnival.
Yeah, there's a night carnival. That is on
the night.
Monday night.
On the street?
Yeah, Monday night. Long ago, you used to have, let us say you have the carnival, you start from, as you said, from 6, right? That was carnival Monday morning, you start from 6 and you go on, and at, let us say, all 10, 11, there is nothing at night, which means all masqueraders from the evening, they go home and take a rest, right? And comes out for Tuesday morning. But now, everybody wants to party whole night, so the government say, okay then, you all can play mass whole day Monday. But up to 12 Tuesday night. So there is a competition, a midnight competition begins at 12 on Carnival Monday night. Only on Monday night.
Yeah.
Tuesday, at 12 o'clock, you gotta be home and already chilled.
Gotta be home by 12.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I would like to add this. Now, this is for lots of people that has never ever seen, number one, a steel band in its entirety on the carnival. I would like very much for all of you to have the experience to see carnival in Trinidad and to see a steel band concert in Trinidad, because I am sure that you'd marvel to hear the type of music that would emanate from that band, and you'd also marvel to see the type of structures that the masqueraders make without any sort of proper training, like, you know, like college training to see these structures made with move. Now, I made a conquistador's armor suit with nails and chisels and a hammer with movements also. And there was a gentleman from America here. When he passed by the camp, the night and saw me, but he said, well, where you went to learn? I said, well, I saw the big guys doing, I do too. So he put it in the Look magazine. I have that magazine at home. And he was trying to contact me to come up to America and go to school here. But I went into the Navy at the time and he couldn't get me. But you would be surprised to see the amount of talent that is down in that island, that little island. Now, what I'm talking about is not this. I'm talking about structures as tall as this tent and as wide as this tent. Right, carried by a man. A man is in that costume and he's carrying it and moving with it. That is what I just said again. I hate Peter Minchell for. You see, he did it. When Peter Minchell put that man on the stage and the man put on his costume and opened it, it covered the entire stage from point to point. You can remember that?
Yeah.
From point to point. No, I mean, it was never done before. We marveled, but it was great. And it only take a genius to do that. And he won. And since he won that year, he has been winning steady. Nobody can beat him. That's what I hit him for again. Because, you know, last year he played Master's Color. This is, looking at it, is nothing. But when you see the structure, not last year, it was year before. And you see, this thing is moving. Everything in it is moving. We don't have the know-how. We don't know how to do it. But he is doing it. Yeah, last year he made, I was glad, because last year he made, Saga Boy and Saga Girl, a born a girl, you know, that was his king and his queen. And on the stage, everything that the man do, the girl do, the girl do.
Very tall structure.
Very tall and big.
A person about this height here, and that big structure.
Up, 14 feet
that
up.
That structure is out like this and giving the old motion, you know?
Everything. But what happened to him?
You know?
Whilst the guy was dancing off the stage, the bolt down the bottom by the foot got slack and it came off the screw. And the piece could not have moved again, you know. So the whole thing came down. I was glad because you lost. But that's the only way you could have lost. You can't beat him. You really can't.
He's very creative.
Yeah, but he's good. He's very, very, very good. But yeah? I would like you people to see him.
He's very creative.
Yeah, he is. Yes, he is the greatest. Yeah. He is the greatest. He is. He definitely is. But he may not come this far, but he would be in Miami next year. And if any of you are down in Trinidad, down in Miami,
it's on October Columbus, 12th.
October 12th, yeah. You will see him because he'll be bringing the band here. Then he'll be in Brooklyn on September.
Labor Day?
Labor Day, the first Monday in September.
There's something which you should know about Trinidad and Carnival. Carnival in Trinidad is always celebrated at Lent. But in the rest of the world,
Well, in America, like nearly every state in America now is trying to project the Trinidad Carnival image, right? And they use various holidays. Like in Miami, I was the president of the Trinidad and Tobago Carnival Association in Miami, and we got a charter from Governor Graham. That charter is for October 12th every year. We have the permission from that county to parade the streets on that day. Now, there's a parade in Brooklyn on Labor Day. There's a parade in Washington in July. There's a parade in Ohio in July. There is one in Atlanta, Georgia, tomorrow. There's one in Orlando tomorrow. There's two in Toronto, one in Toronto, one in Montreal. But this is something that is being projected now throughout the entire American states, you see?
And it is mainly Trinidadian people?
Mainly Trinidadians. But in New York, we have the title of that association, the West Indian American Carnival Association. Now, that is that incorporates the American people because without them, we can't do anything, you know. So we need their help. And also in Miami, it is the West Indian American Carnival Day Association of Greater Miami. See, and we are trying to project a carnival down there, a Trinidad-type carnival down there too. And maybe we may try to do something up here too. Who knows? According to how it goes, if we can get our government involved, whereby they can send two bands and a steel band up here, we will do something here too. So then you will see exactly what I am saying. So you remember this young man, 68 years old, who told you about this carnival in Trinidad.
Okay, thanks a lot, Charlie and Lou. Really appreciate it. FL, you have any more questions for either? Oh, yeah.
What is this gentleman's name, Charlie?
Pardon?
Llewellyn
Roberts, 4 L's, 2 E's, 1 W, a Y, and an M.
I saw my first Trinidad Carnival 46 years ago.
46? Yeah, that was a long time ago. Yeah.
You know where Shaga Ramos is?
Yeah, I know where Shaga Ramos is. I was in the Navy. I know where Shaga Ramos is. Oh, you were in the Navy, right?
That's right.
Right, good. Well, in those days, it was entirely different to now. And in those days, Trinidad was a nice place. Because, quote me, if I'm wrong, correct me. In those days, you could have taken off your cap or your hat and leave it in the street and go home tonight and come back tomorrow and be in the same place. Am I right? You can't do that anymore.
I don't think any place is like that anymore.
Any more questions?
How do you tune one of those things? How long does it take to tune one?
Oh, I can tell you. A long time.
It will take maybe... All right, I'll tell you first. Now this is the normal drum, as I just said a while ago, right? This is the bottom of the drum. The sound here is 6.5 inches. You gotta spread it 15 inches. You gotta spread it across. You use a heavy hammer and you keep a start coming from the middle of it, the center. Carry it on, there you start it. These are the sides here. Now when it reaches that point, tuner now, he comes and he gets his chisel and he starts a groove. You can come a little closer so you can see exactly after this point here, you're burning it. Maybe you got an old tire or two, and you put this fan over there, you burn it. And then you come and you cut it to the length, you get a song or something. Because at this cut here, it gives you a special song in the pan itself. Because if this pan has cut to this, you will not get a song. That's how it is. So it cuts to this length, and then the tuner, he comes around. He has his instrument, and he's beating. Up in there and trying to feel the song. Anyone can come and see exactly what I'm speaking about.
He cuts that and then he
okay,
Zest groove.
Just groove.
Yeah, no well.
It's just, he grooves it like that.
Yeah.
Charlie and Lou Ellen will both be over at the carnival tent for the rest of the afternoon, I guess, to answer any more questions anybody will have. The band, again, will play tonight at 7:30 on the main stage, and we'll be here again tomorrow.